each and every one of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to all those that are live streaming, welcome. We're thankful that you have tuned in and taken the time to be able to come and to hear the words that the Lord has placed upon our brother's heart. And I'm always appreciative of the words that he has to speak, and I'm always appreciative of the capability to be able to gather together as the Lord's children and to be able to not only hear the word preached, but to have the opportunity to apply it to our lives. And I would ask that you would lift our brother up in your prayers and that you'd be mindful of those words that the Lord has placed on his heart once again. And I would go ahead and introduce our brother and priest, Glenn Orsted.
Well, thank you very much, Gary, and good evening to each of you. I do welcome you into the house of the Lord and in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this evening. As I stand before you, you know, I confess that as I sometimes take some assessment of my life, I can say that, you know, I probably watch a little bit too much television. I don't watch as much as many because frequently, you know, my co-workers and stuff be talking about things on a show they've seen that, you know, I don't have any idea what they're talking about. So, you know, I don't watch as much as some, but I probably spend more time than I should in front of the television watching some shows. And I say that because I want to make a point that over the many years, my various shows that have caught my attention, you know, I've found that, you know, when they're new and they're the new show that's on, you know, it's on for the season and stuff, I'll find some show that I, for whatever reason, you know, I like and I'll want to watch while, you know, it goes through the season and maybe even the continuing season. And thank you, Gary. And I'll enjoy it and I'll watch it and then, you know, time will pass. And then maybe I'll come across it again as a rerun. And I found there's kind of a stark difference that sometimes there's those shows that, you know, I watched, you know, I liked what I was watching, and I see a rerun, you know, I've seen it, I don't need to see it. But then there's others that I can kind of watch over and over again, you know. Even though I've seen it many times, there's some appeal, something I like, and maybe you're the same, and probably wouldn't be the same shows, but there's some shows that I can watch over and over. And others I liked when I saw, but, you know, I don't really have any desire to watch it again. And so as I stand before you this evening, it's because I think we kind of find the same thing in the Scriptures. There are some Scriptures that there's an appeal that we are drawn to, a favorite Scripture, something that we read over and over. We probably have almost memorized. And tonight, that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to spend some time with one of those classics, if you will. I would like this evening to take some time with the 23rd Psalm. I am sure probably every one of you here knows the 23rd Psalm. Many of you could almost probably recite it. It is probably one of the best-known scriptures among those who may not even profess Christianity. I would imagine that there's even a good number of atheists who, although they may not believe it, would know the 23rd Psalm when you would tell them that. It continues to comfort those who are dying, those who have lost loved ones. And maybe it's so well loved because it's very personal. It's very individual, and it's very timeless. When we read the 23rd Psalm, we don't think of David out there shepherding his sheep 3,000 years ago. We read it, and it applies to us. The Lord is my shepherd. And so before I comment it, I'd like to just read it, the 23rd Psalm. And then that's where we're going to spend our time this evening, just a few verses. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's probably somewhat unfortunate that we live in a society now, and as I look out upon many of you, probably tending sheep is not your ordinary occupation. Probably, I would imagine, the number is few that even know a shepherd. And therefore, probably don't really have an understanding really what a shepherd's life was like. And so I think we have a tendency to lose a little bit of the meaning that David intended when he wrote these words, and that's why I'd like to take a little time to consider it this evening. This has been read many times, there's been many comments. I've done it in the past. But as I looked at it again, you know, there's a few things that appeared to be new to me that I hadn't considered. Apologize for my cough. I was ill a few weeks ago, and I'm feeling much better, but the cough does still kind of hang on for a while. And so this evening, as we discuss this, I'm basing a lot of my research, if you will, study into shepherds, from some writings of an individual known as Philip Keller. And that's because he grew up and he lived in East Africa, and he, as he was growing up, was surrounded by sheep herders. Very similar to those in the Middle East. And as a young man, he spent 8 years of his own life as a sheep owner and a sheep rancher. And so he has some insights that I think is kind of interesting to bring to the subject, and I think will help us to understand what David probably felt as he wrote these words, "The Lord is my shepherd." I'm sure you're aware that David himself was a shepherd. But as he wrote these words here, he saw Jehovah, the Lord God of Israel, as his shepherd. He speaks in this psalm as if he is one of the flock. And as we start the 23rd psalm here, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd," it's as though he almost is proclaiming, literally boasting, excited about, "Look who my shepherd is, my owner, my manager, it's the Lord." Because sheep, like much of life, aren't all born in the same lot. Some individuals seem to have things go well for them in lives, where others have difficulties. Some animals may live in existence in poor conditions just to be food, while others find themselves as pets and catered upon by humans. Even pets that may have owners, some are not cared for very properly, and some are pampered. And so it is with a herd of sheep. Their conditions, their environment, and how they're cared for can vary very much depending on who owns them and how they're being cared for. The terrain that they're being raised in. So it's not, you know, it's not a guarantee that if you're a sheep and you've got a shepherd that, you know, you're going to have a wonderful, easy life. Under one man, sheep might be struggle, starve, and suffer endless hardships, but under another shepherd, they might flourish and thrive contently. And so it's with some degree of pride, if I can use that word, that David, as he writes this, he is proclaiming, "The Lord is my shepherd." our Lord who chose us, bought us, calls us by name. He makes us His own and He delights in taking care of us. That last aspect, I think, is really what makes really kind of sets that into what he's saying. He says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The idea here is that the Lord, the shepherd that we're giving this image of here, is a good shepherd, the best shepherd. He is the shepherd among shepherds. David's saying, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He's showing that I have complete faith, confidence, trust that this shepherd will do everything for my best interest. I shall not lack anything. Matter of fact, I looked at where it says here in our King James, I shall not want. The NIV says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. And so as we look through Scripture, we find that our Lord supplies our every need, not necessarily our every want, but He supplies our every need. As Paul told the Philippians, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Jesus Christ. That's Philippians 4:19. The same one who sustained the children of Israel, the one who fed Elijah by the brook, the one who led Lehi and his family to the Americas, the one who provided the needs of his disciples and sent them out without staff or shoes, has promised to provide both our physical and spiritual needs. A good shepherd loves his sheep. For him, there is no greater, that's his responsibility, that's his whole purpose. There's no greater reward, no deeper satisfaction than seeing his sheep content, well-fed, safe, and flourishing in his care. That's what his life is all about. He gives everything he has to ensure their safety, their well-being, their condition. He goes to a great deal of trouble to provide them with the finest grazing, ample winter feed, clean water. He provides shelter from storms, protection from the enemies and diseases and parasites to which sheep are susceptible. From early dawn to late at night, the good shepherd is alert to the welfare of his flock. He gets up early in the morning and goes off first thing to look over his flock. He examines the sheep to see if they're fit, they're content, and able to be on their feet. And he identifies if there's some distress, some need, they're ill, or they require some attention. Throughout the day, he looks over his flock, he makes sure everything is all right, and at night he sleeps with a phrase, one eye and both ears open, ready for the least sign of trouble that he needs to go and protect his flock. And that's the kind of shepherd we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, where Jesus himself said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's John 10:11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And so truly, when David writes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He knows of what he speaks. Because David was a shepherd. Verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. As I read this individual's comments about sheep, and so his comments were in reference, you know, to the comparison to Psalm 23, he made a note that, you know, it is not easy to get sheep to lie down. Said there have to be four conditions before sheep will lie down. They have to be free from all fear. There must be no tension between members of the flock. They must not be aggravated by flies or parasites. And they cannot be hungry. If they're concerned by any of those four, they will not lie down. And so when this says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, David is talking about his shepherd, the Lord, is making sure those needs are met. They're not fearful. There's not disharmony, contention among the group. They're not being bothered by these annoyances, and they're not hungering. The good shepherd must see that his flock is free from these disturbances. You know, sheep are very easily frightened. Just a sudden a rabbit bolting from a bush in front of a sheep that didn't expect it can frighten the sheep. And when one starts to run, they all start to run. But a flock that's been under the care of a good shepherd for some time and know the shepherd will look towards the shepherd to see if he's calm, to calm them. A flock that's seen the shepherd defend them, to intervene for them, begins to look for him for contentment and safety. And like sheep, we also are easily frightened. We don't like to say that, you know, but we really are. A lot of things stress us, concern us. You know, we live an uncertain life. You know, any hour can bring disaster. And generally, you know, the future has a lot of unknowns, unexpected, and those things can frighten and concern us. But nothing quiets our souls like knowing that our shepherd, our Lord and Savior, is near. I've had many times where I've been in situations that are concerning to me and approach our Lord and Savior in prayer and have that peace come over me that, you know, I'm still uncertain, but I know the things are going to work out. And the thing is, with time, as I've got older and more times I've been in situations that are concerning and I've trusted in the Lord and I've found that things have worked out, the easier it is the next time to be faithful and know, well, the Lord is going to watch over me. Like those sheep that know, all of a sudden something happens. They look, was the shepherd bothered? No, he's not at all concerned. I don't need to worry. So it's the same thing with us. You know, as we practice our faith and we see the Lord has supported us, been with us, protected us, guided and directed, when something happens, it's that much easier to say, I don't feel him all stressed out over this. It's going to be okay. Our Lord is with us, as in 2 Timothy 1:7 it says, For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In every animal society, you know, there's this established order of dominance and status. You know, in chickens, it's known as the pecking order, and among sheep, it's called the butting order. You know, sheep will butt one another with their heads, you know, to establish their tray, their dominance. They will compete with one another for what they perceive to be the best grazing. And when there's tension in the flock can't lie down and rest. They have to be ready to fight, ready to defend. The result is that it wears the sheep out. They lose weight. They're irritable. And so the shepherd has to deal with that. To keep them calm, to stop the fighting. You know, still kind of a lot like people, isn't it? You know, there's a struggle for status in our society, in the workplace, among, you know, friends and family even. You know, this drive to keep up with the Joneses. There's a struggle for self-assertion, self-recognition, fighting to be the top sheep. We butt, we quarrel, we compete to get ahead. And it's impossible to relax in that environment. We have to always be ready to stand up and defend ourselves. But things change when we look to the shepherd. And we see the shepherd there when we know his presence. And he puts aside and ends all that rivalry and conflict that we feel. You know, the sheep will not rest if they're bothered by the aggravation of insects and parasites. Sheep will not rest if they are until they're free from hunger. A hungry sheep is always on his feet, searching for another mouth of food, trying to satisfy that gnawing hunger. I'd like you to keep in mind that, you know, in Palestine, there were David wrote this psalm. You know, it's very much like where we live now, where we live here in Phoenix. Kind of dry, brown, sunburnt land. You know, green pastures aren't in abundance. And so shepherds had to search hard for these green areas to cultivate for themselves. But when the shepherd has taken care of these needs and they've calmed the flocks and led them to green pastures and they've filled themselves and they're no longer hungry, they're free from fear, tension, aggravation, they would lie down. And see, and that is really a sign for the shepherd. When the sheep are lying down, the shepherd knows that his sheep are content. They're feeling safe. They're not hungry. They're not being bothered. They're not being troubled. That's his desire, to see that his flock will lie down. The attentive shepherd is looking for reasons that where he perceives that they should be and they're not, and tries to identify the problem, tries to intervene, and tries to work, because that's his goal, to get them the condition where they would lie down. And so our shepherd, you know, provides us with the spiritual food we need. If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, he has promised to fill us. All of our needs are met in Christ. That's why he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He also leads us beside the still waters. Sheep need water to survive, as we do as well. But they don't like to drink from noisy, turbulent water. They don't like to drink from a waterfall. They don't like where it's bubbling over rocks. Some of the things that many of us as humans, we kind of find relaxing to go by a waterfall or a babbling brook. Sheep want it to be calm, because sheep are naturally fearful. Sheep are prey for so many things. And so if there's things that distract them, you know, they're not relaxed. And so they like the still, calm waters to drink from. A good shepherd knows that. We'll know where those still waters are. And Jesus made it clear that the thirsty souls of men and women can only be fully satisfied by coming to him, the still waters. In John 7:37, he stated, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Our shepherd leads us to those still waters. Verse 3, "He restoreth my soul." There's an old English shepherd's term that's called a cast sheep. And that is a sheep that somehow, in some way, has fallen over or turned over on its back and it can't get up. It happens frequently. Especially the sheep that are being raised for their fleece, for the, you know, the wool that's on them. It'll get heavy, because that's what people want. We, you know, where they've been ready not to get, have this heavy fur. And so sometimes when they fall down, they can't get up. First off, just the weight, but because it's soft, and so they don't really have anything to really push off against to get up, because it's got this cushion. And so when a sheep, however, ends up on its back, it's very difficult, particularly pregnant ones, to be able to get back up. And when that happens, they usually, all they can do is lie on their back, kicking their feet frantically in the air. And if the shepherd doesn't find them and get them back on their feet, they're probably going to die. That's why the shepherd is always looking over his flock, counting them to see if they're on their feet. And if one is missing, he has to go find it. That's why the parable, you know, the 99 sheep and the one that's missing, and he leaves those 99 that he knows are content and are okay, because he doesn't know what's going on with that other one. There are all kinds of threats and things, or if it's on its back or something's happening, it's never going to get back. And so he leaves all to find that one that went astray. Many times a shepherd will search for hours for a single sheep, only to find it's on its back and lying there helpless. He'll turn it over on its side. If it's been there for a while, blood circulation and stuff will be hard for it to get back its legs. He'll rub its legs. He'll restore the circulation. He'll lift it back on its feet and maybe even support it for a while until it gets its composure back, until it'll begin to stumble, stagger, and then eventually be able to walk and return to the flock. And I believe it's an image like that David had in mind when he says, "He restoreth my soul." Our shepherd sees us when we're in some distress, whatever it be. And if we're in distress, you know, he will come and seek us out. And he'll rise back up. He'll rub our legs. He'll get the circulation. He'll help us to stand back up and get back on our feet. Because he restoreth our soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness' sake. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sheep, if they're left to themselves, will just continue to graze the same hill until there's just absolutely nothing left. If they still see a little bit of grass where they're at, they will continue just to stay there until there's just nothing left. And so the good shepherd has to constantly keep moving them along to better pasture. The good grazing. And, you know, once again, you know, we're a lot like sheep. We get something that draws our attention, you know, we really likes our passions, our interests and stuff. We'll just stay right there with it, won't we? Sometimes someone has to nudge us, say, you know what? You know, your focus isn't quite right. You're spending a lot of time on this. There's other things that are more important. As we read in Isaiah 53:6, this is, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And so we need a shepherd who can lead us in paths of righteousness. And our Lord does just that. Notice that our shepherd, you know, he's not a driver, he's a leader. He's out in front calling us, beckoning us, telling us out there. He's led the way, he's set the example. Now he calls us unto him. In 1 Peter 2:21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Our Lord leads, and he always leads in the paths of righteousness. He said, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's John 14:6. And he does it for his name's sake. You know, a good shepherd at some point is going to bring the flock in. And someone, some purchaser, is going to have to evaluate them and look for, you know, blemishes and their condition and all that and everything. But a shepherd that's well known, that's established his word, will come in, and the buyer out there, because they've trusted him, because they know his word is true, and there's a problem, he's going to tell them, we'll take those sheep by his word for their condition, for his namesake. As our Lord, through his sacrifice, will present us unto his heavenly Father in that final day of judgment, that it's by his name, it's by his sacrifice, that we have the avenue to return to our Heavenly Father and be in his presence. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me." This section kind of sets a new tone in this psalm, doesn't it? up to this point, it's as if the sheep, the member of the flock, has been boasting kind of his unfortunate friend from another flock across the fence about how excellent care he receives and how great his shepherd is. But now the attention turns to the shepherd himself, doesn't it? Now the sheep address the shepherd. There are going to be valleys in life for all of us. We all have our ups and downs. Some will have many valleys and some a few. Some will have deep valleys, others not so deep. But somewhere in our journey, we must all cross the valley of the shadow of death. This says in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. The time may be unknown, the circumstances, but it's a certainty that we all will face that at some point, at some time. And it is something that we must walk. We must walk it alone unless we walk it with Christ. You cannot walk to this valley with your husband or your wife. You cannot walk it with a business partner. You can't partner. You cannot take friends or relatives. As we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will walk alone or we will walk with Christ. But you can only be close to the Lord at death if you're close to Him during your life. That's the relationship of the flock with its shepherd. Because as he goes on, as this example of sheep is facing the valley of the shadow of death, says, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." When the shepherd's out in the fields with his flock, he carries very little with him. Today, modern shepherds will have a rifle, a staff, a small knapsack with some things. But in the time that this was writing, and even today in the Middle East, shepherd will carry only a rod and a staff. Rod is kind of like a club. It's a defensive weapon or a disciplined weapon. The shepherd learns from childhood to throw it with amazing speed and accuracy. It becomes the main weapon of defense for himself, the sheep. He uses it to drive off predators like coyotes, wolves, cougars, dogs. In the brush, it's used to beat away snakes. But it's also used for discipline. If sheep wanders away or approaches some danger, it can be thrown to send it back to the flock. The staff, on the other hand, is a long, slender stick, often with a crook or a hook on the end. And the shepherd will use the staff to guide the sheep along a new path or through a gate. He doesn't beat the sheep, he just nudges them along. At times, the staff might be used to get sheep out of trouble, to pull it from the water or free it from some thorns. To those of us who are God's sheep, the authority, the power, the might, and the guidance of the Lord are indeed a comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. This is kind of a different image here. A lot of commentators will have various takes on exactly what this means. High plateaus, where commonly the sheep pasture are called mesas, which is a Spanish word for tables. But I think what it's actually, however specific it may be, it says, "Thou preparest a table before me." This is important, a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Because the shepherd, as he moves his flock around during various seasons, in spring after the snow melts, he'll take his sheep up to the mountain to find good pasture. Times they may have to go through some rough and difficult terrain. And so the shepherd frequently will go out ahead of the flock to find the best route, to find the best pasture, to look for potential dangers. He'll decide where he's going to make camp. He'll make sure the vegetation is sturdy enough and look for any poisonous weeds or snakes or things that could be a hazard to the sheep. And so the shepherd frequently will go out and prepare something, possibly this table, but in the presence of mine enemies. Because sheep, there's always threats to the flock. By animals that want to prey upon them, poisonous plants, all different kinds. There's all kinds of threats and things. Even as we're surrounded by all kinds of concerns and dangers and potential pitfalls and things. And our Lord and Savior, if we'll hearken to Him, you know, He gives us wisdom and discernment and direction for the best course to take. He prepares a table, a place, a secure area, though surrounded by many hazards and threats and enemies. And so our Lord takes care of us in the presence of our enemies. The enemies are still there, but He's gone forward. He's checked things out. He has, as we read in Hebrews 4:15, He has already been and was in all points tempted like we are. He knows the concerns. He knows the threats. He knows the dangers. He's known our sorrows. He's endured our struggles. And so now He is fully prepared and able to go ahead. He has already gone ahead. He's already gone ahead. And now He beckons us. He calls us because He's prepared a place of safety. Thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Sheep, like many domestic livestock, you know, are prone to problems with parasites and insects, flies, mosquitoes, gnats. Sheep are particularly have a condition that can bother them by it's called a nose fly or a nasal fly. Sounds kind of gross because it is, but they fly up around by the sheep's head and they try to deposit eggs on the damp nose of sheep. If they're successful, the eggs will hatch and they'll form the small worm-like larvae, and they'll be in the sheep's nose and cause a great deal of aggravation. It's very common. Something a shepherd has to be aware of. I read about in this guy's book. He says, you know, this is very common. And so the way the shepherd helps protect them from that at the beginning of the season when this guy out there, he'll mix up an oil concentrate or concoction. And in the area where he worked, I mean, was familiar with, maybe different out there, but it's a mixture of olive oil and sulfur and some spices. And then the shepherds would apply it around the heads of the sheep, and it would discourage the flies. It would give them protection. It was also used to cure, and it's a firm scab, which is a highly contagious disease among sheep. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. In other words, our Lord takes care of us. The shepherd takes care of me. In fact, our Lord gives us everything we could need and more. Paul expressed that thought in this way. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's Ephesians 3:20. It is true that my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The sheep with a shepherd like this knows that he is in a privileged position. Our Lord truly cares for us as a good shepherd. No matter what else may happen, we know that goodness and mercy will follow us. It's very common that, you know, the sheep are not owned by the shepherd. He's working for someone who actually is the owner of the flock. And he's an employee of that person and given the responsibility of caring for that flock. which I believe is what the Lord is addressing when he here in 3 Nephi chapter 7, verses 24 through 26, he says this, "And verily, verily, I say unto you, that I have other sheep, which are not of this land, neither of the land of Jerusalem, neither in any of the parts of that land round about, whither I have been to minister. For they of which I speak are they which have not yet heard my voice, neither have I at any time manifested myself unto them. But I have received a commandment of the Father, that I should go unto them, and that they shall hear my voice, and shall be numbered among my sheep, that there may be one fold, one shepherd, and therefore I go show myself unto them." Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a shepherd out there. He has an employer, our Heavenly Father. And He has been entrusted by our Heavenly Father with the care of the flock, the faithful followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he takes that responsibility very seriously, as we read in John 6, verses 38 through 39. "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at that last day." That is his charge. That is his responsibility as a shepherd over the flock that he's been entrusted to care with through his Heavenly Father. And so we, as David writes in this example, must be content in our flock and in our shepherd and not have a desire for a change. As it says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." But we can only confidently state this verse if we can state the first one. We cannot state this verse here unless we can state the verse that it all started with. "The Lord is my shepherd." Unless we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd," we cannot have a hope in this last verse here, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Our Lord desires to be our shepherd. He wants to bless us. He wants to care for us. But Jesus never hesitated to make it clear when we come under his management and control, there would be a new and a unique relationship between him and us. There would be something special about the belonging to this shepherd. It's a sad fact, but I think a true one, that many people who have never submitted their lives to him in obedience still try to claim, "The Lord is my shepherd." They seem to hope that by merely admitting that he is their shepherd, they will enjoy all the benefits of his care, but that's not so. I'll turn to the scripture where people come up there and says, "You know, I've never known you. You're not part of this flock." "The Lord is my shepherd." What a difference that little word "my" makes. It is all the difference between joy and sorrow, purpose and meaninglessness, eternal life or eternal death. It all hinges really around that one word, if you can say that. "The Lord is my shepherd." As I stand before you, I told you at the beginning, this is probably, I'm pretty confident, it's probably the most well-known, there's many well-known verses, so maybe not, but it's certainly one of the top verses that the world knows, even if they're not believers. It's very common. And among believers, it is to me, it's one that's very dear to most of us for various reasons, as I've tried to address hopefully this evening. And as I said, there's probably many atheists who, though they don't believe the words, know the words. And so as I stand before you this evening, I tell you, there are many that know the psalm. There are many that know the psalm. There are many that can recite word for word the psalm. but far fewer that know the shepherd. And the psalm really has very little value unless you know the shepherd. Unless you not only know the shepherd, but you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. And so I'd ask you this evening, as you contemplate these few things I brought before you, to ask yourself the simple, I say simple question, but the analysis takes a little more look, but can you say, the Lord is my shepherd? May God bless us.